Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events. This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
Hey everyone, it's your host, Sasha Ann Simons. Now before we get to our interview about how you can see a partial solar eclipse from Chicago in April, I want to get your feedback. Now this is a new thing that we've started called the Question of the Week. Every Monday or Tuesday here on the pod, we're sharing a question for you to respond to. And we'll be working your responses back into the podcast, our radio show, and Reset's daily newsletter. You've probably heard that the parent companies of Juul and Mariano's are trying to merge. If they're successful, the partnership would have big implications for Chicago area shoppers. That's why we want to know, where do you do your grocery shopping and why? Leave us a voicemail at 888-915-9945 and we'll play your answer here on the podcast and on the radio. In about a month, one celestial body will pass through the shadow of the other, and Chicagoans will get to see that partial solar eclipse without leaving the city. But that's not stopping people from being super excited. Dare I say, to the level of a total eclipse of the heart? I sat down with a few fans of this celestial happening to learn more. Geza Juke is the director of astronomy at the Adler Planetarium. Ashley Walker is the founder of Black and Astro, and a third-year astronomy PhD student at Howard University. And rounding out the panel is Tom Auchter, member of Northwest Suburban Astronomers. Geza starts with why this event is so special.
We have an example of an eclipse, a sort of fun, amazing, awe-inspiring astronomical phenomenon going right through a major population area. And that's just exciting. So many people are going to get to see this eclipse. So many people saw it last time in 2017. And that's, for someone who's interested in both the science and the outreach, that's just a wonderful opportunity.
When is the next time that this will happen?
Oh my goodness. Not for a while.
Yeah.
There's an eclipse coming up in the 20s, but it's barely going to be visible in the United States. It's not until the 2040s until you get an eclipse that goes right across.
Mm-hmm. In your words, Ashley, tell me why this is so special. This is the second one in 10 years.
For me in particularly, this will be like the first one that I actually get a chance to like have a real glimpse at. So originally I did see the one in 2017 with my classes at Chicago State. They were not expecting me to be there, but I randomly showed up because I was supposed to be like in Carbondale or something. And they were just like, why are you here?
Well, it's an eclipse.
Right. But this is so special because you have people around the world that are super fans of astronomy. Who may not know like the in-depth and the mystery that astronomy brings to the world, but they're ultimately excited about anything with astronomy. So they're going to ask us any random question that they can think of.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure my 7-year-old cousin will ask me any question about it down in Georgia.
You're right about that. I've got a bunch of random questions for you now. before I bring Tom into the conversation, I want to know the feeling that you get, Ashley, when you look up at the sky.
So when I look up at the sky, it's very exhilarating. It provides a special feeling. It provides a land of mystery that we don't often peer into because we go on about our day to day. But when we think about the night sky, when we think about the planets, when we think about the universe as a whole, we ultimately think about what if. Just like how we think about the what if when it comes down to the Marvel Disney series. You
right.
think about like what if this can actually happen. And those same questions actually poses the things that we think about in astronomy.
Mm. Yeah, I just went back, Tom, and I looked at a photo of myself that's on the internet somewhere. It was captured during that last one in 2017. I was in Washington, D.C. at the time, and with my special glasses on, and I had the biggest grin on my face. I felt like a five-year-old just, like, you know, in a candy store. It was just really cool, I think, to witness. And I know that you have seen a number of total eclipses. So give us your favorite memory.
All eclipses are different. So even if you've seen one, every one is different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen one, with one being close by, it's definitely worth going there. I think probably my most favorite memory was during the last eclipse. We were up on top of a mountain in Wyoming observing the eclipse. And what was amazing was the drop in temperature. It really got cold. It was well over 30 degrees. We had a nice, warm, sunny day, and it went to below freezing. So
wow.
I'll never forget that. And then just the experience of, during an eclipse, of seeing a 360-degree sunset and the sensation of your place in the universe and seeing everything in motion.
Yeah. No, that's an incredible description. To that end, Geza, there's a lot of things that are happening during a total eclipse. The light, air, and as Tom mentioned, the temperature, it's all changing. So can you walk us through that?
Absolutely. An eclipse happens when the shadow of the moon sweeps across the Earth. And, you know, at first you think, well, okay, you know, big deal, right? You know, it's a shadow. I've been in shadows before, but it's so different because the shadow is large, and little funny things like the shape of the light source. The sun's usually a, you know, circle in the sky, but when it becomes a crescent, all your shadows, that sort of dappling that you have, well, those become crescent shapes. You can see, if you look at the shadow of a tree, all these tiny little crescents. So it's all these things that are just a little bit weird. The moon in the sky will start to sort of sweep across the face of the sun,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have, look, like a bite has been taken out,
mm.
and you'll see that.
Is that what creates that sunset effect?
So the sunset effect was going to happen, not yet, because when you only have a bite, then the sun is still quite bright and
yeah.
sort of illuminating everything. But when the shadow of the moon, the projection of the moon, goes in front of the sun completely and blocks it completely, then right where you are, there's no light. So it's dark, and you maybe even see the stars overhead. But out in the distance, sort of towards the horizon, the moon's shadow isn't that big. And so out in the distance, the clouds and the air are still getting the sunlight. And that sunlight's bouncing off them and traveling through all of this air coming towards you. And that's just like a sunset, when it's coming through a lot of air and it's blocking all the blue light and you're getting only the red. And so
mm-hmm.
that's why you have this sort of sensation you're surrounded by a sunset.
I see.
It's magical. It's like a land of mystery.
The path of totality crisscrosses the United States, meeting in southern Illinois near the Missouri border. So if people want to see the full shebang, they're going to have to travel. I understand, Geza, that you've had your travel plan set for a year.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people who are going to be traveling to see this eclipse. I think a lot of people had a taste of the previous one. And so so if you still have an opportunity, I say go for it now. Don't wait for the last few minutes.
Where are you going exactly?
We're going to be going down to Bloomington, Indiana.
Nice. Tom, how far do people need to travel to see totality?
Well, from the Chicago area, you would have to travel anywhere from 3 to 5 hours, either to southern Illinois, going to Indianapolis would be a close major city. So not too far away.
Yeah.
But you will have to be prepared for, on eclipse day, if you aren't already there, that you'll experience a lot of traffic, particularly once the eclipse is over. So, you know, make it into a picnic, plan on
make
staying.
A whole trip out of it.
Correct.
Right.
And you'll enjoy the experience, but don't plan to rush home because you won't be able to.
Yeah, and as Tom mentioned, Ashley, here in the Chicago area, people are still going to be able to see a partial eclipse. So what will
correct.
Be visible exactly?
From my understanding, it will be more so like a phantom-ish type of thing going on. When I saw it in 2017, it was overcast, so hopefully we cross our fingers that there aren't any overcast, as it did take place in 2017, because we'll be able to see some, but not the whole
right.
Thing. So
yeah, no one wants a cloudy sky for sure. And
I would cry.
It was overcast in 2017 when you were trying to take a look at things.
Yes, I would cry so
badly.
So
you would cry again.
Exactly.
Geza, it's possible a comet and some planets might be visible too. Is that right?
Definitely, you should be able to see the brighter things in the sky.
Wow.
You know, planets, stars that might be near the sun. I really love that description you said, actually, about
the phantom.
That phantom.
Yes.
Because it's really true when you have a partial eclipse, especially a deep partial, like it'll be in Chicago. You may not notice at first quite what's wrong. It just, things seem a little weird. The light quality is odd. It seems dimmer. But if you didn't know that there was an eclipse happening, you might not realize that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you have your glasses and you know that it's an eclipse, you'll look and go, oh my goodness, the sun is a crescent. And you'll realize what's going on. But it's really, yeah, this eerie feeling when you've got a deep partial eclipse.
Mm. Tom, you've got a strategy to create shadows using items that you have lying around your house. Can you fill us in on that?
Yes. If you don't have eclipse glasses, you can use standard items, for example, a kitchen colander. Anything with small holes in it.
Really?
If you have a mesh hat, as an example, and hold that up to the shadow it casts, and you will see all these hundreds of crescent suns. And of course, it's not a good time of year yet for having a lot of leaves in the trees, but leaves would do that, casting shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start seeing those effects about 40 minutes after the eclipse starts. If you use something like that, you would start seeing crescents cast by that. You can also use your hands and interlace them and use that to project a shadow. And that will also create some crescents.
I see. And I know that some members of your group, Tom, you're traveling to Indiana?
Some members are traveling to Indiana, to Ohio, Missouri. I think we have some going to Arkansas, Texas. We may be now going to Texas because we've discovered some of our family is going to be meeting down there.
So oh, wow.
Might make it into a family affair.
Nice. And Ashley, your group, Black and Astro, you're partnering with the Museum of Science and Industry to host events for the eclipse.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we're actually partnered with two as of a few minutes ago.
Congratulations.
So we're partnering with the Museum of Science and Industry, where we will be on the front lawn, so you all can come join us. But also, the White House National Space Council, who we have been partnering with for about a year now, has also events that they've said, hey, come visit us. And also, they have Find Your Place in Space Week,
uh-huh.
which is during the eclipse. So they will be having things there as well in Washington, D.C., but also virtually, so folks can also tune in and get that information.
That's awesome. And while we're on the topic, tell us more about Black and Astro, your group.
Yeah.
What's your mission?
So we are a grassroots organization started in 2020 due to the civil unrest of Black people around, not just in the United States, but around the world. We are here to foster, nurture, provide support and opportunity to Black folks around the world. So we're not just U.S.-based, although a great majority of us are. We have folks in the U.K. We have folks in South Africa. And so last year, we did our very first in-person Black Space Week. So Black Space Week was originally Black and Astro Week, which I created in 2020, which birthed Black and Astro. And so all that week, you can find us all through on social medias using the hashtag, whether it's Black and Astro or hashtag Black Space Week, in which you will find a plethora of amazing people, whether they want to be space lawyers, whether they want to be designers for space missions, whether they are astrophysicists.
Nice.
So we just open the doors for everyone who wants to do something with space that is Black.
And I just learned a new term, space lawyers?
Yes.
What?
Yes,
I wish I had more time to dig into what exactly they do. But Geza, talk about options that the Adler will be offering for folks who want to view this eclipse.
So we had a fantastic event in 2017, and we were like, this is fantastic. We got to do this for
2024. Let's do it again.
Yep. So we're going to be having a sort of a community viewing out at the Adler, starting a little after noon, and then we'll be handing out eclipse classes. You know, come bring your friends,
nice.
Bring your family, and you know, the maximum eclipse is somewhere around 2 o'clock, and then we'll still be out there until 3:30 or so.
We can do like Tom suggested, make it a picnic.
Yeah, exactly. Come out to the picnic. Yeah, yeah.
What about viewing options in the suburbs, Tom? Do you recommend that folks head to maybe like a park?
You can see it from anywhere in the Chicagoland area, but make it, like I said, a picnic or an outing. Parks would be great. There's a lot of forest preserves in the area. You can also check your local library. Sometimes the libraries will have different viewing events, which you can go to. But the main thing is to go and have fun and see what you can see and observe the changes in the light.
Yeah.
There's only going to be a sliver of light coming through, and shadows will become definitely strange and very sharp.
Mark your calendars, folks. That's April 8th. We'll leave it there. That is Tom Auchter, who's a member of Northwest Suburban Astronomers, Geza Juke, who's director of astronomy at the Adler Planetarium, and Ashley Walker, who's an astronomy PhD student and founder of Black in Astro. Thank you all so much, and happy viewing. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. If you like the conversation, please consider leaving us a rating and subscribing. It helps listeners like you find our show. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. You can catch us on the show today at noon on 91.5 WBEZ.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause. And rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.